Aleph Hashishi, the Shari Chachma will be opened, and that will bring in the Mashiach. Now, we see in our times a tremendous opening of wisdom. The advancement in technology is astonishing, unprecedented in history, and it's certainly something very inspiring to see the tremendous growth in everything. Technology has been something that it's hard to keep up with. That we see. But how is that bringing the Mashiach? So the answer is very simple. When we have Shailas, we ask Shailas. And we learn, and we harva, and we research. And there's no doubt in my mind that so much technology has brought so much learning, so much Iyunat Torah, so much Amelus in Torah, to keep up with the most recent Shailas is something that is really very, very challenging. Yaakov Kamenetsky, I just passed his house coming here, in fact, he once said, don't think that the American Rabbanim are any smaller than the European Rabbanim. It's just that they have bigger Shailas. That's the truth. And today I want to talk about one of those bigger Shailas, something that today is almost unavoidable in almost every station in life a person finds himself. And that is the technology that we are so comfortable with. How did that impact us in Hilchas Shabbos? For example, it started a long, long time ago when there was something called an answering machine. When someone set up an answering machine for his business, he didn't want to miss business on Shabbos, but he wouldn't be Mechal Shabbos, of course. He set up an answering machine that would be able to take orders. He's a doctor that will be able to take messages for an appointment. Is that perfectly mutter on Erev Shabbos to do on Shabbos? Then there was the question of the fax. Can you leave your fax open and you can receive an order? Of course, he doesn't want to be Mechal Shabbos, but he doesn't want to miss a client. So he leaves open his fax machine, he might get another client, he might get another order, more business. Then it broadened. Technology broadened its horizon, and now we have something called a website. Not theoretically, now it's actuality. A person could have his business open on Shabbos, and is doing business. And he's Mechayiza Hashem Shabbos. He could open up his website, he could help have his business open. And of course he could be sitting in his house and singing Hashem Shabbos Habeinim Abbas. And in the background, he hears an order coming in, and he sings with a little more gusto. He just made a few more dollars on Shabbos. Is that perfectly permissible? Is that within the spirit of the halacha? Is that a little beyond? So as you realize that this is something that basically is unavoidable, and then you could progress to eBay. Someone just asked me, Mamish, yesterday. He wants to sell something on a auction. He wants to buy something. I think he's doing both, in fact. He has a goyish worker, and it just gets so complicated to understand how to apply this to our simple daily Shabbos living. So this is something, if you want to just refine it, if you want to prep, make it concise, Malacha always was defined as doing something. You know, Bishul, Boira, it's doing something. Here, a person is totally passive on Shabbos. He's doing nothing. He sets up his business on Erev Shabbos, whatever it is, and it goes on Shabbos. He could be a doctor, and he gets orders. He gets appointments. He gets cancellations. I'll tell you on a simple level. I'm in a camp, in a boys' camp, Bachem camp, and the soda machine is owned by one of the boys. And on Shabbos, of course, none of the our bochum buy soda, but there are probably a dozen plus goyim on the premises. Is it perfectly permissible to keep his machine open and a guy puts in a dollar and buys a soda? He just made a sale. People have vending machines. People own apartment buildings. They have laundromats. This is common to people that have real estate. They have washer dryers and they're making substantial money. And this branches into other questions, as we'll see today, regarding different time zones, regarding bank interest. So let's try to get to the bottom of this and try to get a better understanding And then hopefully the rest will really fall very, very, will flow naturally. There is a concept, it's a very well-known Beis Meyach Sam Seifa, even though perhaps Shlichus might work by Advar Avera, according to some opinions, when it comes to Shabbos, there's no concept of Shlichus. I can't delegate someone to Mechala Shabbos to me. Because Shabbos, I have to keep Shabbos. And I'm doing that. Gufay Shavas, Gufay Noch. If I'm not doing Malacha, that's not Chilul Shabbos. So Shlichus doesn't begin regarding Shabbos. Based on that, what's the problem with all of this technology? I set up my machine, my fax, I set up the eBay, I set up my site, whatever it may be. I did that all Erev Shabbos. Shabbos, my guf is resting. What's the problem? So on a simple level, I'm doing nothing on Shabbos. You'll say, wait a minute. You're causing Chilul Shabbos to take place. You're causing Malacha to take place because you set up your site, someone's going to come on and going to buy or sell or whatever he may do. And who doesn't know the Gemara in Shabbos, there's an Issa of Grama, Issa the Rabbanon of causing Malacha. If you think about it, that's incorrect. When is the Issa Grama? On Shabbos. You can't, if you see a fire, so you take a barrel of water, put it next to the fire, and then the fire bursts the barrel, and it puts out the fire. The Issa Grama is on Shabbos, you can't cause Malacha to take place. The whole concept of technology, when do I set up the Malacha to take place? Erev Shabbos. How did that, that's not Grama. I could make Grama. I could put a chal on the Erev Shabbos on the fire that cooks on Shabbos. And I think I can tell you the biggest raya to this. We all live in a society that the mail is delivered on Shabbos. Anybody have a problem with that? The mailman comes to your house on Shabbos. The teretz is, if I quote the pasuk and tell him, tzadik ma pa'al. I did nothing on Shabbos. The mailman comes to my house, adaita denafshe, and that's his problem. Okay, the truth is, if someone has a religious Jew as a male person, he has a problem. Pam Zuchan of Baruch told me he once had a Yiddish mailman, and he said, I appreciate it if you don't come on Shabbos. And the person, in fact, didn't. He told it to him nicely. He didn't insult him. But if it's a regular Goyish mailman, what's the problem? So, L'chayr, what's the issue in all of technology? And basically, this seems to be the Farish and Mishnah. In Shabbos, Daf Yedzayin Amud Beis, there's a famous concept of Shvisas Kelim. According to Beis Shammai, you cannot start a Malacha Erev Shabbos that continues into Shabbos. You can't put wool into the dye. According to the Beis Shammai, you can't put a raw chalm on the fire Erev Shabbos that cooks on Shabbos. Why? Because the Malacha is taking place in Yubayor Kelim. And that's the concept of Shvisas Kelim. That's according to Beis Shammai. Beis Hillel holds, as long as your involvement was completed before Shabbos, you set up the dye, you set up the challenge, as long as you did your involvement before Shabbos, what continues into Shabbos is of no concern to you. And this is basically a machlokes, how you learn the pasuk, Sheish Yom Metaved, Vasisa Kol Melachtecha. So Beis Hillel says, as long as you did everything Erev Shabbos, you're okay. That, of course, is the heta. We put up a raw challah on the Erev Shabbos. It's going to be cooked on Shabbos. I'm causing it to be cooked on Shabbos. That's all the material. Because when did the actual malacha take place? I did it Erev Shabbos. So the chayr, our question, whether it's eBay, whether it's email, whether it's e-commerce, all of it. I did everything Erev Shabbos. Shabbos comes. Hashem is Shabbos, Habeinim Abbas. And indeed, this seems to be the approach of earlier Paiskim that lived just about 200 years ago. The Shalameshiv, Meram Shik, were discussed what now is, of course, part and parcel of our life, Klishoy Sheyesh Leiveker, which is basically a timer. The first timer in history. Of course, it was much more primitive than ours. But they had a timer that they set up Erev Shabbos, and the Malacha took place on Shabbos. And both the Shalom Eishiv and the Maram Shik say, what's the problem? You set it up Erev Shabbos. You did nothing on Shabbos. That's okay. Your Kalim are doing Malacha on Shabbos, because whatever they set up, it took place on Shabbos. That makes no difference. Shvisas Kalim is Mutter. So basically, this is the first of the technological questions was a timer. A person sets up a timer, and these great Poskim said this is no worse than Shvisas Kalim, and it's Mutter. Now, there is a Tshuva of Moshe which is often misquoted. Now, it's worse than misquoted. It's underappreciated. Rav Moshe, as is known, was not in favor of Shabbos clocks. You know, people call it a Shabbos clock. Rav Moshe probably referred to it as a Chilul Shabbos clock. Rav Moshe was not impressed that a Shabbos clock is mutter to be used in Erev Shabbos. But people say it over because and they don't understand the beauty of Rav Moshe's approach. Rav Moshe knew the Mishnah in Masechta Shabbos that Shvisas Kalim is Mutter. I don't have to tell that to you. But Rav Moshe found the fundamental difference between Shvisas Kalim and a Shabbos clock. What is Shvisas Kalim? You set up the chalent on the fire, for example. And it's cooking into Shabbos. The Malacha was done Erev Shabbos. It started cooking Erev Shabbos. With a timer, the lights are off. The air conditioner is off. It first goes on tomorrow or tonight. But it goes on Shabbos. The Malacha begins on Shabbos. Where do you see from the Mishnah that that's permissible? If the Malacha begins and continues into Shabbos, that's okay. If the Malacha first is set to begin on Shabbos, that's not Shvisas Kalim, and that's us. So according to Rav Moshe, indeed a timer should not be used, but a kayadua, the Velt is Mekel, and I imagine the point is, since potentially it will go automatically, it's as if it's done. But be that as it may, since we, most of us, do use a timer, what should be the difference with an eBay or with any of the technology, the websites that are on Shabbos? I did everything Erev Shabbos. You'll say, but it's my voice. I leave a message and it's my charming voice that attracts customers. The answer is, I can't talk on Shabbos. But when did I make this charming message? Erev Shabbos. So what's doing Malacha now? The answering machine. So you put the answering machine in Gehenna. It's not me. So basically, we have sort of separated ourselves from all of the ramifications of technology. However, there's one point that must be considered. I should say, not one point, one delight that we have in this sugya, a true delight that how it takes an interesting spin on the sugya. There is a broad issa in a lot of Masechta Shabbos called Mekech u'Memka, which has, again, numerous ramifications in halacha. On a simple level, a person cannot make any transaction on Shabbos. Even in the most extreme form, someone forgot to sell his chametz. Can you imagine? He forgot to sell his chametz, thank you. And it's almost Pesach. Let's say Pesach is either Shabbos or Pesach is Sunday. Shabbos, it's Erev Pesach. He didn't sell his chametz. Can he quickly run to a guy and sell the chametz? He won't give money. He'll do the kinyan without money. That's a sugi in Beya. You're not allowed to make a kinyan on Shabbos. Even if it means holding on to the chametz for the 2 days till Chol HaMoed. That's number one. Another expression of kinyan on Shabbos is the well-known concept of schar Shabbos. A person is not allowed to earn money on Shabbos. Someone's a chazan, a tutor, a babysitter, a speaker. You can't earn money on Shabbos. Shema Yichtayv. Money has too close of resemblance to Mekech u'Memka. Even if the malach is hetta, babysitting is perfectly mutter. In fact, Rav Moshe Netshuva was asked a very penetrating question. people have bank accounts, they put money in the bank account, and there are some people that have compound daily, that means they make X percent per day, that means every single day they're earning X amount of dollars. Why isn't that a concern of Schar Shabbos? So Rav Moshe says, you're right, you are earning money on Saturday, but it's not the Alach of Shabbos. Because Friday, part of Friday you earned, Friday morning, Friday afternoon, and then Friday night. So part of the day of the earning is Mutter. So it's Bahavla. It's a mixture of Heter and Issa. Shabbos, the earning of Saturday, as we call it, is also Havla. Because part of Saturday is always Matzai Shabbos. So although technically interest earned is a form of Schar Shabbos, but in the American system, there's never a day that's totally awesome. But then he adds, and how about if you have a two-day Yom Tov? So he says, well, one day maybe it could be Seimach, that it's a Yom Tov Sheni. But then he says, how about Shabbos and Yom Tov? Or Yom Tov Sheni when you want to be Chayshish. He says, you're right, that money that you earn, if you have compound daily, that money, you should not have enough of it. You should give it to a yeshiva, but don't get honored by the next dinner for that money, because you'll survive to having enough. But the point we see, the extent of Mekach u'Memka, simply earning money on Shabbos is us. Okay? Then we go a step further. Receiving something is us. Making a kinyan. We don't get married on Shabbos. We don't have a pidyon ha-ben. A baby that's born the 31st day is Shabbos. His pidyon ha-ben is postponed until Sunday. So now we have to reconsider our approach. You're right. I could put up a chol on Erev Shabbos. No problem. Can I set up my eBay? Can I set up my site to make a Mekach u'Memka on Shabbos? Don't we also have the problem of Mekach u'Memka that's us even passively? After all, bank interest is also, I'm not doing anything. I'm total Shev Al Tasa. But that's the Issa of Mekach u'Memka. Earnings, period. Whether it's aggressive or passive, there's no difference. And the truth is, this problem seems to affect as well vending machines. People have soda machines in Goyish neighborhoods, or they have washer dryers in buildings they own in non-Jewish neighborhoods. How can you take the money at Schar Shabbos? Again, the boy in our camp, he's a Erlich boy, and the Goyim probably buy a dozen sodas over the course of a Shabbos. Is that mutter to allow it to go on? After all, he's making Mekach u'Memka on Shabbos. And the answer is, it is indeed a problem. But, and this is the big but, he won't be kind of the money until after Shabbos. There's a solution. Let the guy buy, but you're not kind of the money until after Shabbos. So as far as the malacha that takes place, I am passive. Schar Shabbos, I won't be kind of it. And Takadi, Rav Ozna, and others say, the Marshak says this as well, that there's no problem of having a vending machine operate on Shabbos as long as you have kavana not to be kind until after Shabbos. You'll say, what about Schar Shabbos? How could you have hanor from the money that you're making at Schar Shabbos? So to that, the Minchas Yitzchak, who also discussed this question, he says that the dollar you make on the soda is not a dollar of pure profit, not Shabbos profit. Let's say 50 cents you have to pay for the actual soda. And he cites a Noida Yehuda that the reason why when we go to a mikvah on Shabbos, especially if women, they have to pay, and they don't say, well, I can't pay for Shabbos use, because it's havla. Because part of the mikvah fee is for the actual tefillah. Part of it is for the washing of the towels, heating of the water, the operating of the building. So as long as there is some payment that's not for Shabbos, it's okay. So basically, the Minika Olam is to permit vending machine operation as long as you don't do anything, and if you have that kavana not to be kind of the money on Shabbos. But there's one point that has to be ironed out. Listen to an incredible Rabbi Kiveiga. Kiveiga has a question. When you have a situation that Kinyan is also on Shabbos, what does that mean? You can't go through the motions of making the Kinyan, the Maisa Kinyan? Or does it mean the Gemar Kinyan, the consummation of the Kinyan? Now, it seems like he's splitting a hair, but he's not. Let me tell you an incredible nafkamina. Let's say someone, his wife had a baby, his first child, and it's a boy. He was zaycha to a ben zaycha. Okay. He has to make a pidyon haben. He's all excited. You know, he's inexperienced. You realize, you know, every father, when he makes a pidyon haben, is inexperienced by nature. First time he's doing it, he runs to the calendar. When's the pidyon haben? To his great dismay, he comes out on Shabbos. Can't believe it. What's he going to do? Push off to Sunday. He likes to do things right. So he has a tremendous einfall. Goes to the kohen and says, listen, I'm going to make you famous. I have an idea. We're going to have a big, lavish pidyon haben on Friday. And there's the party and, of course, the pictures and the presents. That's all on Friday. And we're going to program that the actual pidyon haben, I'll give you the money on Friday, I'm going to make everything Friday, but I want the pidyon haben to be chal on Shabbos. In other words, it's a delayed pidyon haben. The kohen will have a corner of the market. I make the delayed pidyon haben. I'll give you the money, you'll accept the money, and we'll take the pictures, and we'll get our mazel tovs on Friday, big party. But the pidyon haben will actually take place on Shabbos, the chalois, and we did nothing on Shabbos. Just like you're allowed to start cooking shalom there of Shabbos, let's make the pidyon haben on Shabbos. But if you hold the Isser is what he calls Chalois Kinyan when it actually takes place, so then you're not helping, you're not accomplishing anything because it's actually taking place on Shabbos. So Rabbi Kiveiga has this Shaila. And he proves that Lemaisa, even a Chalois Kinyan is Isser. Even though you did nothing, but the Chalois Kinyan on Shabbos is Isser. His Talmud, the Meram Shik, had an even more pressing issue. When Pesach falls on Sunday, as we know, so Shabbos is Erev Pesach, and the typically Mechiras Chametz takes place Friday morning. Shouldn't be different than a regular year. Now, for business people that deal in Chametz, they're being denied a full day of business unnecessarily. Because Friday, you could really sell Chametz, because Friday is Yud Gimel Nissen. But since it's done, it's done. Someone asked me, I'm sick, I have a better idea. I'll keep my business open on Friday. We'll make the Kinyan on with the Goy on Friday. And the actual Chalois Kinyan will take place on Shabbos. So I can have my business operating a whole Friday. I won't change the minig of selling Chametz on Friday. And Shalom al Yisrael. So Ram Shik writes back, it's a good idea. But my Rebbe Dechlam Seif says, you can't do that. My Rebbe's Shver, the Kiva Ega, said you can't do that. Why? Because you can't have a Chalois Kinyan that takes place on Shabbos. According to this, we have a problem with vending machines and with technology in any form. You keep your site open. You're doing nothing. You're passive. But if your email, your eBay, if your site does any type of malach on Shabbos, the chalois kinyan is awesome. So who cares if you're passive? In fact, I saw from an earlier poysik, I remember about 50 years ago he wrote this shaila, so it's certainly outdated, but the approach is important about buying a lottery that's drawn on Shabbos. And the question is, if you win, how do you take the money? You're making a kinyan. So of course people say, I'm never going to win, so I have no problem. So I ask that person, if you're not going to win, so why do you buy it? How foolish can you be? But anyhow, but in case I win, how can you keep some money? You can't keep the money. So Hitaka says, if the kinyan takes place on Shabbos, it's a problem. The truth is, from when you win until you actually make the money, there's quite a long journey, so you don't have to worry. But the approach was, Reb Kiva Eger, there can't be a kinyan on Shabbos, even though you did nothing. But of course, I'm sure you're all thinking, what's Reb Kiva Eger's understanding? I'm allowed to make bishul on Shabbos. I could set my challah Friday, it goes into Shabbos, no problem. I could do every malacha Friday, which continues into Shabbos. But I can't make a kinyan erev Shabbos that consummates on Shabbos. Why is kinyan different than a malacha deraisa of bishul? And of course, all the achrayim wonder, what's Reb Kiva Eger talking about? How could kinyan be worse than bishul and everything else? So I need not tell you, Reb Kiva Eger understood this. You know, I'm reminded of a story. Someone wrote a sefer answering all of Kiva Eger's kashas, except for three that he found were too, you know, challenging. And he went to the Satmar Rav for askam on a sefer. Satmar Rav looked at it and was, wow, he's really get his, you know, his ego was going up in double digits. And he goes, I can't believe it. I see you only understood three of Kiva Eger's kashas. If someone answered Kiva Eger's kasha like that, then he didn't begin to understand Kiva Eger's kasha. So Kiva Eger says that kinyan on Shabbos is also. Ayin Mishnah says that you're allowed to do malacha erev Shabbos, that happens on Shabbos. Zok the Ksav Soy for his Einiko, it's Pashit. There's an Issa Bishel. So I didn't do Bishel on Shabbos. I set it up erev Shabbos, that's fine. But what's the Issa of Kinyan? Just that, Kinyan. Kinyan is the Gemara Kinyan, Chalois Kinyan. So Chazal asked Kinyan on Shabbos. So who cares you did it erev Shabbos? But when is the Malacha? What is the Issa? Kinyan. The Kinyan took place on Shabbos. So Kinyan is worse than everything else.
Is that with Moshe could still in it the way he says sausage?
I think so. That's a very good point. Exactly. But we'll get back to that. But then there's something even more beautiful. The Avnei Nezer, and this is vintage Polish Torah. This is really Avnei Nezer type. He says Kinyan fundamentally is different than Shalant. I mean, for more than one reason. But let's say Moshe Rabbeinu on the last day of his life, or Shabbos, let's say, he set up his chalent, Erev Shabbos, okay? And on Shabbos, Moshe Rabbeinu was nifta. That was the end of his life, okay? Does that affect the chalent in any way? No. Chalent is chalent. Ptir is ptir, right? Let's say Moshe, I don't want to make someone else to die, you know, unnecessarily. Let's say Moshe set up this Gemar Kinyan Pidyon HaBen, or any type of kinyan that a Friday takes place on Shabbos. And before the Chalois kinyan, Moshe Rabbeinu was nifta. Does the kinyan work? No, why not? Because you have to have a kinyan, you have to have a makna. So what does that indicate? Something different about kinyan. That you got it all wrong. He didn't finish Erev Shabbos. The kinyan did not finish Erev Shabbos. But right, if you don't have the person on Shabbos, the kinyan doesn't take place. What does that indicate? That you need the person to be here on Shabbos. He is doing something, albeit passively, but he is doing something on Shabbos. And that's Reb Kiva Eger's problem. That a kinyan, you have to have the person's involvement in some extent. And that's the issue. So Reb Kiva Eger is still Reb Kiva Eger, and the poskim are chayshish for this Reb Kiva Eger, that a gemar kinyan cannot take place on Shabbos. There is a kasha, an interesting question for Daf Yomi Yidin or Daf Shavua Yidin. You'll have it soon. But in Sukkah, Daf Membeis, the famous concept that when Yidin came to the Beis Hamikdash, they all convert to the Beis Hamikdash. What do you do with the Lulavim? They put it in one central area, and people said, whoever takes it up tomorrow should be kind, and it's his. So I saw the Beis Sharim ask, how does Kiva Eger deal with that gemara? You're making a kinyan on Yom Tov. So that's an issue. But Lemaisa, Reb Kiva Eger, Black Reb Kiva Eger, that you cannot make a Chalois Kinyan on Shabbos, even if he went through the motions there of Shabbos. And now the question is, how do we apply that to e-commerce on Shabbos? I set up my site, my eBay, whatever it is, everything before Shabbos, and I'm singing Zmir Hashem Shabbos Abeinim Abbas. I'm doing nothing. But if there's a kinyan taking place on Shabbos, if there's a chalois kinyan taking place on Shabbos, Would Rabbi Kiveiga permit that? Isn't that a simple analogy of Kiveiga's understanding? What?
How do you establish the coincidence?
I'm going to get that in a moment. That's a good point. So before we get to your point, which is true, which is a technical point, there might be a more fundamental difference. The Marshag that I told you earlier says you're allowed to set up a vending machine Erev Shabbos. I, Rabbi Kiva Eger's Lomdus, Shag certainly accepted it. That's Tzchar Shabbos. I'm talking about Kinyan Shabbos. So he says even better. Yes, you're right, but he's saying he's even better. If you set up the Kinyan to take place Dafka on Shabbos, like the Pidyon HaBen, like the Mechiras Chometz, you want it only on Shabbos, you know what's taking place on Shabbos, that's Rabbi Kiva Eger's concern. And if you think about it, what's the is of Kinyan on Shabbos? Shema Yichtoiv. So I know on Shabbos the Pidyon HaBen will validate, the Mechiras Chametz will take effect. So it makes sense, Shema Yichtoiv. But I put up a machine, a soda machine, beginning of the summer. It goes 24/7. There's no direct association with Shabbos Kinyan. Even if Kiva Eger would permit it. If I set up, if I focus that the Kinyan should take place on Shabbos, that's a Kivayik's concern. But basically just to have something going 24/7, it might be Sunday, it might be Friday, and for my part, I wish they all get sold out on Thursday. I couldn't care less. So the Marshag and the Chalkas Yaakov both say even Rabbi Kiva Eger would permit this as long as it's not focused Shabbos exclusively. That's one point. But again, more fundamental, like that you'd mentioned, is a much stronger point. Even if we assume that Rabbi Kiva Eger does not like any Chalois Kinyan, how do you legally define Chalois Kinyan in the e-commerce era? If I have a site and someone is interested in my product, does that make a Kinyan out of it? Of course not. If he shows interest and he leaves information, that might be, you know what I would call that, that's a contractual obligation to buy, if that much. But is there a chalois kinyan? Imagine I have a sign on my front of my house. I live in a rural neighborhood like this one. Bike for sale. I leave the bike outside. I'm not worried. $20. So someone comes, sees it, and takes $20 and drops it into my mailbox and scoots off with the bike. Right? Did I make a chalois kinyan? That, maybe you could say, well, my money was kinder, my chutz was kinder, maybe I don't want to be kinder. But then you could hear, the kinyan took place. It's finished, it's done deal. Bike is gone, $20 is here. But when someone goes onto my site, is he making a kinyan? I mean, you know this better than I do, but is that a chalois kinyan? Again, there might be negative feedback if he backs out. But it's not more than that. There is no chalois kinyan. So basically the question is, on a regular site, that there is no chalois kinyan. Now we'll leave that, you know, very defined. Chalois kinyan means that the legal transaction has been validated, has been accepted. Now, as time goes on, you know, things are expediting much, much quicker. You could transfer funds on the spot. But again, is that the actual chalois kinyan? So the Rabbanan that I spoke to said that really the halach is clear, you have to just figure out the metzias. Now I spoke to different lawyers and everybody tells me a different story. You know, that's, you know, part of the legal monstrosity that we live in, you know, this the creation of law that really doesn't, you know, like shor shenagach sapar, if my shor does damage, I'm chayif, right? But if I make it shor incorporated, oh, that's no longer me. Who is it that way? You know, like that term I heard from a lawyer, says it's a legal monstrosity. You know, create things that are very ambiguous, confusing, and like, you know, leave me alone. Just don't think about me. But, you know, it's something like this, that what is a chalois kinyan? Now, you know, one lawyer told me, well, if you could back out, is a raya that is no kinyan. But I asked him, if you have to back out, that means the kinyan is there, you have to revert it. No, it's not true. The kinyan is not there. So, are you backing out? So he confused me until I left him alone. But basically, I think the answer is clear. An answering machine, any of these type of ideas that there is no chalois kinyan is a regular machlekes beis shammai and beis hillel. According to beis shammai, you can't use any of these, but then can you use any air conditioner either? Lalach, we pass them like Beis Hillel, it's muta. So a vending machine, any situation of a Kenyan gomer should be investigated. But if it's just a Tchilas Kenyan, if it's just, again, a contractual obligation, it's basically not a shaila. Now, if there will be, and I understand there are some forms of eBay's that is actually a Gmar Kenyan, then according to Kivega, that should be Asar and Shabbos. If someone will say that this is a done deal, and if you want to back out, you have to revert the deal, then according to Kivega, that's a problem.
In a case where it's a bidding thing, and you won the bid.
You locked it in, but again, is that a Gmar Kenyan? Retracting is not indicative of its chalois kinyan.
But the other people are out of the picture, they can't come back.
True,
in.
Okay, so therefore what?
At some point, there's going to be a gemar.
Right.
So if that's the point, whatever it is,
again,
let's say you have 30 days to retract, and that 30th day pulls out of the ammunition.
If whatever the chalois kinyan is, if that's the point, then that's the point. The money was transferred already, you're saying.
Right.
Sure, there is a point, of course, there is a time, and you know, we're not using others' items. I mean, there is a chalais kinyan. But just, again, locking it in, that's a very good, locking it in is just that. Locking it in means you are eliminating others, but is it yours? You know, I asked this person, I said, and let's say there's a fire. So he told me, the truth is, even after it leaves the company, until the receiver receives it, he assumes responsibility for any damage. Right? So that means even if the person paid for it and you're delivering it, it's still not in his. So that could be the, you know, the kindness he wants to be. He wants to get going to get business. So yeah.
Derech Sofim, is that considered Kenyan Gabi Shabbos? If it's considered Kenyan
Gabi Shabbos. See, some say Situmta is that it becomes the Kenyan. But the truth is this a Situmta? I don't think so. I mean, people say what?
Clicking the accept button isn't Situmta.
It's his mamish lalacha. I agree. I'm not. I'm leaving the facts to you to decide. If there's a gemara kinyan, it's a problem. Now let me move on to another few more points. I don't want to leave this, you know, as a chatzi dava. There is another issue here that has to be considered, and that is the lefnei iva issue. You have to realize there's a big world out there and a confused world out there. I have a friend. He's a anical of a very Chashiva European Rav, and he has a website that he teaches his grandfather's Torah, which is very deep, very philosophical. It's not Oyvel HaSoicha. And he once came back and said, you know, it's unbelievable. He's a computer whiz. He knows this stuff like backwards and forwards. He said, I have my grandfather's Torah on it. During the week I have X amount of hits or visitors. Shabbos and Yom Tov, you would not believe how many people come to the site and see my grandfather's Torah. And it's not typical. You have to be alarmed. So I am, you know, like to be like a baditra. I said, you don't realize it. People are coming from different time zones. So really, he goes, no, I can tell you to which block they're from, which block they're coming from. He has it all to a science. You know, it's a crazy world. There are people that are interested in learning. And on Shabbos, but the Mechal Shabbos. But in business, you don't have to be such alarmed. I know someone who used to work on 47th Street photo, I guess you could say. But he told me this story. He got a phone call from Eretz Yisrael for a big order. It was an Erev Shabbos, like in the late afternoon, but he lives close to the business, like 3 o'clock in the afternoon. It was a long Friday. And the fellow's talking in Hebrew. And suddenly, 3 o'clock in America, it's Shabbos in Eretz Yisrael without a doubt. So he goes, I tell you who D? She goes, Ken. So he hangs up the phone, slams down the phone. Terrible, he's talking to you on Shabbos. A minute later, the phone rings, and the first thing he says is, Chutzpah! How dare you hang up on me? So here he's talking to a Yid, Lefnei Iva Shein Kamayu, on Shabbos. So what are you going to say? It's unavoidable. True. But then when you start to keep a business open on Shabbos, although technically there is no Chilul Shabbos, mitzad you, but do you know who's going to come? So what do I mean to say? Don't do it. Close your site. It's a consideration.
We come to somebody else too.
What?
I mean, you go to somebody else, another store like yours.
So that turns the Fnei Iva into Mesayeya, but it's still in Nisar Rabbanan. What he could have elsewhere is Mesayeya, Nisar Rabbanan. So that's another point that has to be considered. But there's perhaps even a different halachic objection that's even more pinpointed. The same Gemara that we learned, the Mishnah, about she says Kalim, the Gemara says, the Mishnah says, I should say, there's one exception, that you can't put in Chitim into the grind on Erev Shabbos, which grinds into Shabbos. Why? The Gemara wonders, why is Chitim different than everything else? So the Gemara says, Lidnei Ashmas Kol. So Rashi explains, Av Shemilsa, it makes noise, V'ikiz Ilusa de Shabbos. In other words, even if something you started doing Erev Shabbos, and it continues on its own into Shabbos, but what makes noise on Shabbos is a zilzul of Shabbos. Rav Moshe Nechuvan, and Rav Zalman also says this, that's why, technically, if the Goyisha made, or Goyisha work in yeshiva, I see this all the time, technically he could put on the washing machine, the dryer, he could vacuum the floor, but that's zilzul Shabbos. That's Av Shemilsa. Even if mitzad amir l'akam, it's okay, but something that's noise and disparaging the Kedusha Shabbos is unacceptable. So Rav Moshe in a tshuva writes regarding timers. Something like this, like a timer that you could set for Erev Shabbos, that goes into Shabbos and does melacha, that is Av Shemilsa. Rav Moshe writes, Chacham Adav Minavi, but it's like a Navua. He says, if you're going to use timers before long, you can have factories working on Shabbos. And today, it's not factories. Today, there are people that their whole panasa is automation. It receives the orders. Someone told me this. I can't place it, but he says it receives the orders, it packages the orders, it puts it onto the truck, and Baruch Hashem, the truck is still driven by human being, la'eis ata. I don't know what's going to be tomorrow, but from the receiving of the order till the delivery is all automated. So there you go. A business could operate 24/7. You know, I have the only gemach that's open 24/7. Personally, I have a tape gemach in the yeshiva in a corner with tapes and CDs, and it's there, it sits there 24/7. But that's no problem. But a person could have a factory, he could have a store that's open 24/7. And Rav Moshe says, Ein lecha zilzul Shabbos gadol mizeh. And Rav Moshe writes something that is totally uncharacteristic of him. But Rav Moshe says that I'm not making an egg in Gezeira. This is bechlal, the issa of zilzul Shabbos. After Rav Moshe's approach to halacha was fundamentally different than Rabbi Yaakov's. I heard this in my shir, I heard it from Rabbi Yaakov. Someone came to Rabbi Yaakov once, some talking from Munsi, I know his name even, and he wanted to know about a question about shaving during the 3 weeks for business. So Rabbi Yaakov told him, go to Rav Moshe. So he said, I came to Rav Shiva. Why go to Rav Moshe? I'll tell you. So Rabbi Yaakov said the following words. So Rav Moshe paskins bushteit. Mutta is mutta, us is us. Your case is a mutta. I look at the total picture. If you are venturing on start shaving during the 9 days, so who's going to keep 9 days? So I think you shouldn't do it. But I don't want to tell you because Ramayis it's mutta. Go to Rabbi Yaakov, Ramayis will say mutta is mutta. That was Rabbi Moshe, if you ever read his tshuvas, and sometimes his tshuvas were very controversial. But if it's mutta, it's mutta. He never had his own input, I feel, and his own, you know, approach to what's going to be. And this is not inconsistent with that. Rav Moshe held that having a timer is a beferish gemara in Shabbos, daf yud zayin, that's Av Shemilsa, that's zilzul Shabbos. Because if you have a timer that does all the malachas, you could have everything done the whole Shabbos. And today, it's very easy to program your house that works clockwork on Shabbos. So Rav Moshe felt it's a problem of zilzul Shabbos. That would be another issue with having business that is operated through e-commerce. The Chalkas Yaakov wrote a tshuva over 50 years ago when he talks about a voice machine, answering machine. And he says, there's really no problem, but he says, Chacham his haru b'devreichem, be careful, he writes, because in the not-so-distant future, they're going to Masada, a Chanus Gedoyla, either the automat, that could do everything automatically. And if you're not careful, we're going to have rampant Chilul Shabbos from all these things. And today we see this. Today with technology, if you go with the letter of the law, a person can have business running as usual. So this question, a person has to have a Gadol's, you know, perspective of knowing when is something mutter and when is something questionable. When is it breaching in the sanctity of Shabbos? I once said this concept, and a Yid came over to me and said, he has a very interesting business, all online. All over the world, he has an online, he has expensive coats, not worn by Yidden. I don't know what kind of coat, but he doesn't sell to Yidden, basically. So he kept it open on Shabbos, because why not? Once his daughter, young daughter, she asked him, Tati, how many coats did you sell to Shabbos? And when he heard that, he said, Adkan. If his daughter's perceptive enough to understand that he's doing business on Shabbos now, does she know the lumbus? She says, Kim. You know, it's something that really we could lose. We could lose the Shabbos. For my son's bar mitzvah, it was the Masukis, and one of the rabbanim spoke, and he said there was a yi told him, an older yi that he comes to shul, that he went to visit just that yomtiv, he went to visit his children and grandchildren, and he looked around at a beautiful sukkah, and he said, but you know, my father had an even nicer sukkah than you. And the children were young American, you know, very child. He goes, no, how could that be? What's nicer than our sukkah? He said, my father had beautiful noy sukkah, pink slips. The kids said, pink slips? Come on, Zaydi, what are you talking about? What's not? So let me tell you. My father, he said, I remember this. He was in the Prussian years, in the 20s. He went to a job, finally got a job, and he says, listen, don't forget, you know, they spoke in a fluent Yiddish. That's Kumin Shabbos. You know, here we work on Shabbos. I can't work on Shabbos. If you don't work on Shabbos, don't come Monday. This was, you know, Yidden talking to Yidden. And my father went to work on Thursday and Friday. Shabbos, he didn't go to work. And Monday, he got the Matan Schor Betzida. He was given a pink slip. In other words, go elsewhere. And he came home so excited. He was Mole Simcha. Look what I got for Shabbos. I got a pink slip. And he said, well, we're not going to just take this and hang it on the wall. We're going to save it for Sukkot. We're going to hang it as Noi Sukkah. You know, people did things for Shabbos. He told me this story. He said his grandfather was a big machazarech, one of the European pioneers of Shmirah Shabbos. And he got one of the Rosh Hashiva, I forgot who it was already, who came from Europe, and he said, go to his house, you could eat there. So he said the Rosh Hashiva came and he ate in his house. And at the end, his grandfather told the Rosh Hashiva, you eating in my house when I was almost Mechal Shabbos? And the Shiva felt like, you know, his world collapsed. You know, almost Mechal Shabbos, and he's eating in his house. He goes, but don't worry, I'll tell you the story. I was in the 20s, I had no job, I had no panasa, and it was a question of Pikuach Nefesh. Bo Maimad Nefesh Mamish. And I decided, it's not Gimel Chamuris, I can't not go to work on Shabbos, I can't, you know, I'm going to starve. So I said, okay, I have to go to work. Pikuach Nefesh. So I was about to get on the bus, on the train. I said, wait a second. I'm a chuyiv to go by train. I could walk. It was 20 blocks. It's a big walk. So I'll get up an hour earlier. So he got up an hour earlier, and he's going to walk. And he's taka walked to work. Then he got to his place, and it was a big one of his big factories. He told me 13 stories. I mean, not like today's buildings, but, you know, with these old-fashioned elevators. And I'm about to get in the elevator. I said, wait a second. It's not Pekuach Nefesh to get the elevator. I'll walk the 13 stories. And he starts trudging up, of course, very much reluctantly, but he has to make money for his family. And he gets into his place of business, and he says, I'm never going to do this. And he ran down the steps, and he ran home. He says, you're eating in someone's house that almost was Mechal Shabbos. I walked 20 blocks, and on the 13 stories I climbed, not to Mechal Shabbos. This is a lesson. You know, we gave things for the Shabbos. So whatever a person does in his private life, that's one thing. Whatever a person does as far as his, you know, having, is it open, the site open on Shabbos? But we have to protect the Shabbos. The Shabbos is, in technology that we see today, there is a major threat that Shabbos will become irrelevant. Literally, irrelevant. There's devices at home that things could work, clockwork. There's business that could work, clockwork. And we have to be careful. Let me just leave you with a thought that a question someone asked me. He does business internationally. And Friday afternoon, he's at work, there's plenty of time for Shabbos. Can he do business with country that it's already Shabbos. Let's say Eretz Yisrael, for example, when it's Bitzumei Shel Shabbos. So his really point is that that's another uniqueness of technology. He's sitting in his office, doing malacha, sending faxes, doing things, and his malacha reaches all the way to Eretz Yisrael. Is that a violation of his Shabbos? Can he call his goyish worker to do malacha? Here we have the time zones have sort of been reduced. A person could be sitting there in America, and Yodei Magas ad Eretz Yisrael. So he sits here and he sends a fax there, or does this, and on computers, and he does malacha on Eretz Yisrael. So if for me it's Friday, and my malacha reaches somebody's word Shabbos, is that a violation of Shabbos? So I told him, imagine, if you want to visualize the shy a little better, you're sitting in your office, you have a string, a very long string, you have to have an imagination for this one, and the string, you pull the string, you put on a light in someone's kitchen in Me'ah Sha'arim. Okay, it's a long string. Is that Chilul Shabbos? I mean, today, remote control, that's what it is. I can put a light on Eretz Yisrael. Is that Chilul Shabbos? So if I, in America, and I kept Shabbos, I'm in England and I kept Shabbos and I jump on a Concorde. I know some of the heads of Shaila. And I end up in America when it's still Shabbos. I have to keep Shabbos. Why? Because I'm in a place where it's Shabbos. In fact, some say that's what the Gemara means. I'm going to keep Shabbos in England, jump on a Concorde. I'll have another Shabbos in America. That's good. Because it goes where you are. But if you are in America, even though your hand pulls a string that puts a light on Shabbos, you're okay. Why? Think about it. That's Shvisas Kalim. That's the best case of Shvisas Kalim. There's no Issa on my Kalim to keep Shabbos. My Guf was Shabbos. Now, here, when I'm doing the Malacha, what day is it? Friday. What's wrong? I, the Kalim on Shabbos in Eretz Yisrael, do Malacha, that's not my problem. But, can I tell my Goyish worker in Eretz Yisrael, go and buy and do, and can I, and does Issa Mir Lakam depend where the Goy is or where the Yid is? No. So the answer is, a Goyish Shabbos is Chayiv Misa. A Goy does Malacha and he can't do Chilul Shabbos. He can't do Shmira Shabbos. So why is there an Issa of Amir Lakam? Either Shlichas, or daber dava, that I'm telling him to do malacha, that's the violation, or leitei Shabbos kalabeinach. So based on all three reasons, the issa milakan depends on where the yid is. So if you tell the guy when his Shabbos is fine, fakir to be a problem, because then it's totally where Shabbos is. Thank you all for listening. Have a good one.